we present Beryl Reed, Wilma Ewart, Clement Freud, and Derek Nimmo in Just a Minute. And here to tell you about it is the man of the minute, Nicholas Parsons.
Well, I'm surrounded here by bells, buzzers, microphones, pieces of paper, and goodness knows what, and also a list of rules which I will endeavour to explain to you as we come to them. I also have on either side of me four brilliant and devastating-looking individuals who will compete against each other. I'm going to give each one of them in turn a most unlikely subject, and then I'm going to ask them to speak for 60 seconds without hesitating, without repeating themselves, and without straying from the subject. If any time during that 60 seconds one of the other competitors wishes to challenge, he may gain a point, but more of that later. So with this thought in mind, keep going, stick to the point, and don't repeat yourself. Wilma, would you talk for 60 seconds, please, on excuses for being late, starting now?
The important thing about excuses for being late is never, never to tell the truth. If one is really in difficulty and caught by the traffic, one should never say so, only that there was an accident and you had to stop to give the kiss of life or something.
Beryl Reed.
Hesitation.
Well, I don't think she hesitated. Can I award you a bonus point, Wilma? Continue talking, please,
no,
for another 40 seconds on excuses for being late.
Yes, we had a great American author called F. Scott Fitzgerald who was always late. Always late. And he had a million good excuses for that. He, for instance, came in to meet his publisher, who was very important to him, who, directed his whole life.
Clement Freud, you've challenged. On what basis?
Well, I haven't said anything yet, I thought.
You have received your round of applause. You've made your presence felt. Now, seriously, as regards the game, on what do you challenge Wilma Ewart?
Hesitation with just a touch of deviation.
I can't give you any extra points for the touches, but I will give you a point for the deviation, yes. And there are 25 seconds to go, and would you continue talking on excuses for being late, starting now?
There are really a number of immaculate excuses for being late. One of them is for not coming on time. This is invariably the best excuse. You come through the door and you give the kiss of life to your hostess. And you say, I'm terribly sorry, I am not punctual, or to put it another way, forgive me for being late, here's an excuse. And you then give them a small sweetmeat, otherwise a flower, a parakeet.
That delightful cuckoo was Ian... That cuckoo was Ian Messiter, who thought up the game. And, Clement Freud, you have one extra point for finishing. Well, now you will start the ball rolling this time. And I'd like you to speak, please, for 60 seconds on knitting a cable stitch jumper. Starting now.
It's going to be very difficult telling you how to knit a cable stitch jumper. But you will have to bear with me. And I do promise you that any repetition that you're going to get is absolutely necessary to the To knit a cable-stitch jumper, you go into a wool shop and you buy wool. You also buy knitting needles, and you then sit in a comfortable position with your feet splayed out about 45 degrees from the main screen.
Wilma Ewart, you have pressed your buzzer. Now, may I ask you, on what do you challenge Clement Freud?
Well, I think it's nonsense. You can't sit splayed out in a knitting shop. I mean...
No doubt you can't, Wilma, but you don't know Clement Freud as well as I do. Clement Freud, I award you a point, because I know you so well. Do continue.
Having engaged.
Derek Nimmo, on what do you challenge?
Hesitation.
I quite agree.
You didn't say go.
Oh.
You didn't say go. It counts as go, doesn't it? Didn't you say continue?
Well, now you put me in a complete dilemma now. Were you still genuinely waiting for
yes,
that?
Yes, I was.
I will have to discount that. I'll have to discount. I'm very sorry, Derek. You have 25 seconds left on which to talk about knitting a cable stitch jumper, Clement Freud, starting now.
You get the wool onto the knitting needle. And you engage it, and you then pearl one, plane two, pearl two, plane three, pearl three, plane one, plane three.
Derek Nimmer, try
repetition.
Again.
Repetition.
Did you say hesitation or repetition?
Repetition.
Oh, what a difficult.
He said pearl one, pearl two, pearl one, pearl two.
Yes, but I don't know a great deal about knitting, but I thought they were all different stitches. They were all completing a jumper, which had to have an end product. It was building to something, wasn't it? No, I think probably, I would say that Clement Freud's still with it here, and you still have 15, and you win an extra point, 15 seconds to go with your cable stitch jumper, going from now.
Now, the cable stitch jumper will eventually be ready. It needs sleeves, which have to be tucked onto the main bodice. And after this, you have to sew on buttons, which may not be part of knitting, but are an essential of the cable stitch jumper, which is then ready to be put on.
An extra point for Clement Freud because he finished with the cuckoo. Beryl, would you talk for 60 seconds, please, on the subject of keeping fit, starting now?
Well, I don't hold with that at all. I think it's absolutely awful, keeping fit. It takes up all of your life. I mean, first of all, to start with, keeping...
Derek Nimmo, you're chanting.
A deal of hesitation, I thought.
Yes, well, I think quite a deal. Yes, yes. Derek Nimmo, you have an extra point. And will you continue talking now for 47 and a half seconds on the subject of keeping fit?
Kale baths. Kale baths are absolutely essential.
Clement Freud, on what are you chanting?
Repetition.
It's not your day at the moment, is it, Derek? Clement Freud, I award you a point. Would you continue talking about keeping fit? Start.
He said, pearl one, pearl two, pearl one, pearl two, six times. That didn't count. And he said, kale baths twice.
You've made your point. It's going home. Clement Freud, would you continue? Keeping fit, starting now. Derek Nimmo.
Hesitation.
You absolutely right. Very clever, actually, Derek, because I think you psychologically inhibited him then. And you should have seen the look on his Freudian face. So, Derek, would you please continue with the subject of keeping fit? You have 40 seconds to go, starting now.
Chilled liquid is terribly important for keeping fit. Every morning, I would advise people who are listening to this program to leap into cooled...
Beryl Reed, you're challenged.
Hesitation.
Beryl, you seem to watch Derek's lips because you were challenged on the same basis last time. What were you trying to say, Derek?
I was trying to say...
No, you weren't stuttering. You were fishing for a word.
In the water.
You are just trying to get out of it. Well, your word wasn't in the water. Your point goes to Beryl Reed. Would you continue? You have just under 30 seconds to talk about keeping fit, Beryl Reed, starting now.
Well, if you have a cold bath, that closes your pores. If you have a hot bath, that opens them. And eventually...
Clement Freud, you're challenging.
The pores.
Well, I think that's so clever, I will give you a bonus point, Clement, for that. But I cannot take it with the rules of the game away from Beryl Reed, so she will continue talking for 23 seconds on keeping fit.
What you should do, really, is open all the windows in your house, let all the air come in, put your head out, and...
Derek Nimmo!
I was watching her mouth move.
I can't give you a point for watching Beryl Reed's mouth.
And hesitating at the same time.
Well, I've awarded Derek a point on that, so would you continue? We have 12 seconds to go. Keeping fit, Derek, starting now.
Get up at 8 o'clock every morning, run around the park 3 times. Hyde Park, preferably. When you get back, do physical jugs, exercise with Indian clubs, run up and down the stairs 3 or 4 times, and then you will find that you've gotten yourself into a big sweat. Get into cold water.
Right, who are we with now? We're with Wilma Hewitt, aren't we? Wilma, would you talk to us for 60 seconds, please, on the subject of phrenology, starting now?
Phrenology is a science, as you all know. It began in Polynesia, where it was the custom of the natives to bang their heads together. This was a greeting rather than rubbing noses or shaking hands. So the more bumps on a person's head indicated how friendly he was, how many friends he had. And the natives in Polynesia are splendid at reading one's head to discover if your friends are sincere, warm, or if they don't.
Derek Nimmer, what do you challenge?
It was me, actually. Well, I thought hesitation, really.
You sure that you thought it was hesitation?
Well, I did think it was a...
Well, I think so, too.
Hesitation,
so I'm afraid...
Then I was rather alarmed, because I don't know much about phrenology, you see.
Well,
so I was rather
surprised. You have 30 seconds, I hear you won a point, 30 seconds on which to continue talking about phrenology, Derek Nimmer.
I think it's very interesting when one walks down the Portobello Road and sees those little heads with the large lumps in all the windows, which are divided up into various partitions for people to read the bumps on heads. I believe if you go to a phrenologist, he has there a head which has been itself divided out into various sections according to the brain area, some of which say about your sex, whether you're male or female, whether...
The score, you may be interested to know, is Clement Freud 7, Derek Nimmer's called him up, he has 7, and Wilma Ewart has 4, and Beryl Reed has 3.
Oh, how wrong.
Clement Freud, it is your turn to talk this time for 60 seconds on The English Nanny, starting now.
The English Nanny is a great institution beloved by all English children. Almost the nicest thing about the English Nanny is that she's a tremendous boon to caterers. Every English nanny tells every English child to eat up, not to make a scene, and never ever to query a bill. And for many years, English caterers, helped by English nannies, have been working on this assumption. They give people appalling food, knowing that thanks to the English nanny, people will eat it up. They give them outrageous bills, and thanks to the English nanny, they know that this will never, ever be queried. And as English nannies have always said, the bright...
Derek Nimmer, you've challenged.
Well, I counted them. 7 English nannies.
So did I.
Repetition.
So you have an extra point, Derek, and you have to continue talking for just over 15 seconds on the English nanny.
It always gives me great pleasure to go into Hyde Park.
Clement Freud, you've challenged Derek Nimmer on what?
I don't like Derek Nimmer. English nannies are tremendously warm-hearted, generous, kind, white-haired, pram-pushing, beloved, endearing, bespectacled, kind ladies. And they don't like Hyde Park, they like Kensington Gardens.
Right, well, Derek Nimmo gets a point because he dislikes him. And also, Clement Freud gets a minus point because he went on without permission from the chair. Right, now we continue that with... still 15 seconds to go on the English Nanny. Yes. Derek Nimmo, 15 seconds on the English Nanny, please.
When one goes into Hyde Park, one was always pleased to see the number of English nannies pushing their prams towards Kensington Gardens. Where, of course, they're always much happier.
You know, it sometimes pays to be at the end of the race at the beginning, because Derek Nimmer was so far back in the first round. You've been all on his side. I think he's way ahead of the field at the moment. Right, we're now continuing, Derek Nimmer. It's your subject this time to start with, and we'd like you to talk for 60 seconds, please, on things to do in the bath. Starting. Starting now.
I had a girlfriend called... with whom I...
Beryl Reed, you have challenged Derek Nimmer.
Deviation.
Well... all I can say is that your challenge is very devious.
I don't think you'll find that I'm deviating if you let me continue.
Before we get into very deep and hot water in this bath, I think that I should award that to you, Beryl Reed, to take it out of the hot water that Derek Nimmer's taken. What does the audience think? And the same to you, sir, and I hope you don't come again. Who thinks Beryl Reed deserves a point?
I thought I ought to continue the sentence.
And who's with Derek Nimmer in his bath? Derek Nimmer, you're back in your bath. having gained a point. So you have 57 seconds to go. Will you continue talking about...
The young friend that I mentioned I used to have my bath with. We used to sit together, and I used to play with her rubber duck. And she used to play with my sponge. Alas, she grew up and went to nursery school, and I never saw her again. Since then, I've often had all sorts of interesting experiences in baths. I have at home a family bath. And I think it's terribly important to have a family bath. I have a wife and two children. We have this large bath, which we all gather together in on cold winter evenings. And it's one way of getting to know your family awfully well. I also rather like to shave in the bath. And this is one of my vices, perhaps, whilst bathing. Another vice is to read the newspaper. And I was terribly interested to read in the paper the other day. It's in Japan.
I think an extra point. Wonderful image, that, isn't it? Derek Nimmo sitting in his family bath, reading the newspaper and shaving. I must come round sometime, Derek. What is the score at the end of that magnificent round with Derek Nimmo with the audience on his side leading the field? You have 13 points, Derek Nimmo. Very unlucky omen, I would say. Clement Freud is second, so with 7. Wilma Ewart has 4, and Beryl Reed has 3. Beryl.
Still?
Well, Beryl, I think you've got to challenge Eric very easily on that. He was going off about his family bath and not about things to do in the bath, and nobody picked up this point, I thought. Anyway, Beryl, would you like to continue and talk to us for 60 seconds on what to buy at a jumble sale, starting now?
Well, I would start off with a bird cage. I haven't got a bird, but it would be very nice to have one, and so that would be the first thing I would look for. I'd like a pair of step ladders because I'm not very tall, and I could see more that's going on if I had a pair of step ladders. I'd also like some ladies' shears that with long handles so that I could cut the edge of the grass without bending down. And most of all, I'd like some very thick saucepans.
Wilma Ewart, you have challenged.
Well, I think it's deviation. It's what Beryl Reed would like, really, not what she should buy at a jumble sale.
But this is what I should buy at a jumble sale.
Yes, well, I think I'll give you that, Beryl. Yes, I don't grant the challenge. You have an extra point.
Because you don't know what's at the jumble sale, do you?
You won your point, my love. You don't need to convince me. You have 30 seconds to continue talking about what to buy at a jumble sale.
Yes, I'd like some old china. I'd like one of those jugs and basins like I used to have in Diggs. And I'd also like a ukulele because I think that would be very useful if I could get the strings for it. But possibly I couldn't pick those up at the jumble sale. I'd have to travel to get those.
Clement Freud, you're challenged.
Deviation, this is what not to buy at a jumble sale.
No, this is...
A very clever and valid point, Clement Freud. You win and you continue for 10 seconds talking about what to buy at a jumble sale.
The best things to buy at a jumble sale are homemade jam, especially if they're made by the kind ladies who stand behind the counters behind the jumble sale. And other good things to get are...
As you were still speaking on the cuckoo, an extra point to Clement Freud. Wilma Ewart, it is your turn. And would you talk to us for 60 seconds on the many uses of bubblegum, starting now?
I had an uncle in Chicago who knew all the secrets...
Beryl Reed.
Deviation.
What do you say to that, Wilma?
Well, he was a bubblegum expert, you see, and I'm sorry I brought him up first, but I thought he was necessary.
I think it sounded like deviation to me, and I'm going to give Beryl an extra point. Beryl, would you continue talking for about 50 seconds on the many uses of bubblegum?
Well, if the door won't stay closed in the bedroom, it's very useful to put the bubblegum between the two things of the door, and it does keep it shut. But well, you must be very careful not to breathe through it, because a big bubble comes out at the other...
Wilma Ewart, on what have you challenged?
Well, I think there's hesitation there. I think that...
Yes, I thought it was a lot of
hesitation.
She was
so careful not to...
I know nothing about it.
I know. Wilma Ewart, you won a point. Carry on talking. We have 40 seconds to go on the many uses of bubble gum.
Bubble gum, when ironed very flat, with an iced rolling pin. This is important. You must have iced to get bubble gum off things...
Clement Freud.
Repetition.
Why? Explain yourself.
If you have an iced rolling pin, of course you've got to have ice.
Sure. All right, I'll give you a point for that. Will you continue talking about the many uses of bubblegum, Clement Freud?
One of the primary uses of bubblegum is to chew it, which is beneficial to your teeth and enhances your general appearance when you go out. Another good use of bubblegum is that you can chew it and blow into it and produce a bubble which breaks, making a certain amount of noise which frightens women and children and tells other people of your impending arrival.
Wilma Ewing. Wilma, you challenged just as the whistle went. Was that a mistake?
When you say deviation, I felt that he must be some sort of deviant to want to frighten women and children.
Frank might be a deviant, but it doesn't make any difference to the deviation. No, I think he was with the subject. He wins that point for finishing on 60 seconds. And Clement Freud, you continue now. Would you talk for 60 seconds on the subject of Chinese restaurants, starting now?
The great thing about Chinese restaurants is they serve Chinese food, which is absolutely unpredictable and unimitable. If you go to an English restaurant, you tend to have the good twitty lady sitting next to you saying, "Why are we eating roast beef and two veg?"
Derek Nimmo.
Deviation. He's talking about English restaurants with roast beef and cold veg.
What do you think?
Drawing an important social parallel.
I don't think you've made your important social parallel firm enough with this audience. And Derek, I award you a point. Would you continue talking about Chinese restaurants? We have 42 seconds to go.
I like to eat most of all, I suppose, are chop suey, then egg foo young, lobster balls, perhaps pork balls, pancake rolls.
Clement Freud, what do you challenge?
Repetition.
And I'm sure that after you put all that down, you would repeat. Clement Freud, you have won a point. Would you continue talking about Chinese restaurants, Clement Freud, from now?
In view of the fact that Chinese dishes are almost unpronounceable, restaurants have menus on which they're numbered. A great...
Derek Nimmer.
Hesitation.
Dramatic pause for him.
That wonderful dramatic pause gains a point for Derek Nimmo, because it's here as hesitation. And there are 23 seconds to go, Derek Nimmo. Chinese restaurants.
I also like to eat ha beng, soft noodles, sometimes hard noodles, crispy rolls, and egg foo young.
Clement Freud.
Again.
And again, you win a point. Will you continue talking about Chinese restaurants?
What one has to be most careful about in Chinese restaurants is that as dishes are numbered on the menu, waiters have this terrible
Derek Nimmer.
We've had all this a bit about them being numbered on
the menu. You're absolutely right. We did have the numbers on the menu. We had a dramatic pause afterwards, which we failed to get this time. So, Derek Nimmo, you have 3 seconds to go. Would you like to continue talking about Chinese restaurants now?
I do feel that watermelons and chestnuts...
Clement Freud got his buzzer in first. And what are you challenging?
Watermelons are no part of Chinese restaurants.
I quite agree.
It's deviation.
You've got an extra point. I've never seen watermelons at a Chinese restaurant. What do you mean? There's another second to go?
Just 1 second.
Oh, I'm so sorry. We haven't finished yet because Derek Nimmo... Derek Nimmo, you've challenged on what grounds and who?
Well, he always hesitates because he always speaks so slowly. He's bound to hesitate before he starts.
Well, as I was speaking then and I was hesitating... I don't quite know who to avoid the point. I think I'll give one to both of the girls for that. All right. Anyway, I think that's about all we've got time for. I'll give you the final score. Derek Nimmo went way ahead at the end and has 20 points. Closely pursued by Clement Freud with 15 points. And rather nicely, coming an equal third, we have Wilma Ewitt and Beryl Reed.
Chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.